welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hello, and welcome to Syosset Public Library's official podcast, Turn the Page. My name is Megan, and I'm one of the children's librarians here at Syosset, and I have a very special guest here with me today, the author of The Sisters of Luna Island, Stacy Hackney. And Stacy Hackney is a children's author, and this is her newest book that just came out in April. April was the first date. We're so happy to have you here on the show today.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So I absolutely loved your book so much, and I was immediately drawn to the cover. Like, it's just this very cool, because you won't be able to see this, but like very cool, like water, like, you know, they're on an island and you see, looks like three sisters or three friends. So then when I started reading it, I was so excited because of like, oh, they're three sisters and they all have their own such unique personalities. And it's a special island, Luna Island.
Yes. So I agree. I love the cover. I think it's so beautiful. The illustrator is named Jen Bricking, and she actually illustrated the cover of my first book as well. And I just think she's super talented and manages to really like capture the essence of a book in her illustrations. On the cover of this book, like you said, it's three sisters. They're kind of surrounded by water. Because it takes place on this island, which is where there used to be a lot of magic on the island. And now it in the different founding families of the island, but now most of the magic is gone, other than with the LaFleurs, who's the main character, and her sisters.
Yes. So we are introducing Marigold along with her sisters, Birdie and Flo, Birdie and Lou, I'm sorry, not Flo. Right. I love because they're all like, Birdie's the voice of reason and Flo is kind of like more impulsive. And then Marigold are just like, I feel like she's just like so many teenagers. She's kind of like, she has, I feel like both of those types of sides to her. Like sometimes she could be impulsive, but then she's like, oh, I should just listen to, you know, the reason. So I really like that balance between the three of them. I thought that was great. Yeah.
Thank you so much. That it was something that was really important to me to capture in the book, that I wanted them to be, you know, three sisters, but with their own distinct personalities. And so I spent a lot of time when I was writing their interactions to make sure that they were true to the characters that I wanted to create. So I'm so happy to hear that that came across.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And I love that you used arrow magic, which is the use of like, they use how sense, how they can kind of create these like charms that create right. sense that, that was really interesting. Cause I had read and watched a lot of shows about like small town witchcraft or witches, but never really told from this way before. So I thought that was really interesting and a different spin.
Oh, thank you. I was determined to try and come up with some kind of a unique magic system. And I actually spent a lot of time researching the history of perfume, which has a fascinating backstory. And, you know, all the way back to like the 15th and 16th centuries, people thought that perfumes actually did have magical qualities. So I did, you know, spend a lot of time looking into that history and coming up with my own magic system, arrow magic, where, like you said, the girls blend different scents into spells, which I call charms in the book.
Yes. And then we also find out that for 200 years, that 200 years ago, that there was a curse that was created. And then We seems to think that the curse has been happening again. And we think due to something Marigold does in the story that this curse somehow starts up again. I don't know if I should say specifically what it is.
But, Well, I know I don't want to give too much away, but yes, the family is, Marigold suspects, pretty early on in the story that they are suffering from a curse. Their family is, and, she is concerned that she's concerned that the curse is really pulling her and her sisters apart. And her sisters are pretty much the most important thing in the world to her. So the fact of them, you know, not being with her, being pulled apart from her is one of the worst things she can imagine. So she is trying to figure out if there actually is a curse and if there is, you know, how she can break it.
Right. And then she almost goes on this little quest, is like an identity quest to, like, you know, I think she like really finds out what's important to her, and like she changes so much throughout the book. And it's like this physical quest, but also, you know, within herself and how she progresses and changes through the book. And I feel like that mirrors a lot of like the middle school experience, like, because you have all this like magic going on, but then you also have kind of like the trials of middle school and like, you know, dealing with people that you think are your good friends, but maybe don't have your best intentions. So I like how you like played off of those two different stories like that within the same, you know, story of Marigold and her sisters. So.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you. And again, I'm so happy to hear that came across, because yes, those were definitely things that I wanted to explore in the book. You know, that age, middle school age range is really a very fraught time. And there are a lot of changing friendships and figuring out who you are and what's important to you. And I wanted readers to, you know, take away from Marigold's journey throughout this book that she realizes over the course of the story, you know, how important it is for her to really be true to herself, and especially to celebrate the things that make her unique. And I think that at the beginning of the story, she's very much in a frame of mind that she doesn't want to do anything that makes her different. She just wants to fit in. And I think by the end of the book, she has realized that, you know, we're all different, and that is what makes us great.
I think that was wonderful. And I like that they were really, her family are the only ones really on the island that have like the suspected difference about them. And they're kind of like outcasted by the rest of the island. So it's like, besides like what she's dealing with normally, then it's her family. Like, you know, there's something, you know, mysterious going on, like, you know, they don't really know about. So it's like that mystery that they're going through. And then the mother has a different take of how, like, she sees the arrow magic, and so do the sisters. Like, I can think of some scenes where it's like, oh, should we use that? And it's like, oh, maybe we should. Like, you can use it to better something, but then you find that there's always a cause and effect to using magic, right? So...
Right. So I think that's important, because, I mean, the way I like to use magic in my stories is, to, you know, pull it into real life dilemmas that we have. Right. And so in this case, I felt like, I really wanted to spend a little bit of time exploring that whole idea where, you know, you might see things one way. And at the start of the story, you know, Marigold is truly convinced that her way of looking at the world is the only way that makes sense. But then she starts to realize over the course of the story that, you know, there are other ways of looking things too, that have validity as well. And everything is not so black and white. And I think that in middle school, that is when you actually start to see the world not in so much black and white, good and evil. There's good and bad parts to everyone. And so I wanted to really play up that theme in the book.
Yeah, there were so many examples of that in the story that I thought were really, you know, came across very well. And yeah, that was so great how you blended the magic in with middle school. Like, it was just like, that was just perfect.
Great. Thank you.
And I love the setting. Like, you created such a great sense of place. Like, can you tell me like why you chose specifically to make Luna Island, like North Carolina, like that area? Like,
Yeah, sure. It's actually based on a place that my family has been going on vacation for years, called Bald Head Island, which is a small island off the coast of North Carolina. And I mean, this island is different, of course, but there's just something about, you know, being like a little bit isolated from the mainland that I find intriguing and really special. And then also, I think that there are ways in which when you're isolated like that, and truly in this case, physically isolated, right? Because they're on an island, where it shows a lot of the small town dynamics. And so that was kind of why I wanted to put it on an island. But then also it is a little bit of a shows some of my love for Bald Head Island, a place that is just very dear to my heart.
Yeah, it's had like such a sense of familiarity about it. Like it had a mysteriousness, but it could have been like almost in any time, like or any place. Like it was just kind of like a timeless setting, which I think, you know, lended itself, you know, well to this, you know, to the storytelling like this. So.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for saying that.
And then like, I was also drawn to, so her parents are, you know, separated right now and she's dealing with a lot of difficulties with that too. So she has that besides like what's going on with her school, plus the magic going on. So she has a lot of this, you know, identity and coming of age, like, because we know that, I know there's not revealing too much, but there's a reason why her parents are separated right now. And there's also, it could be tied into, we find out there could be a reason why that tied into the curse that she thinks is going on with her family. So,
right. Right. And I think that's something that, you know, a lot of kids are dealing with. Mm-hmm. I mean, dealing with family issues, with, you know, with parents separated or people just not even getting along. And, it just was hoping that, you know, readers can, you know, find a piece of themselves in this story and know that they're not alone. And then also, you know, show a way that the main character, Marigold, really learns to accept the situation that she's in and, you know, and deal with it and learn how to, you know, lean on the people around her that she loves.
Right, exactly. And that's shown like through her friends, because I know it's her best friend, like Lauren, like she kind of like ends up like they have a little bit of like disagreements at times and like they're best friends, but then, you know, something happens. So it's like you have these, you know, these friendships and you go through, you know, kind of like a tornado effect when you're in middle school. It's like sometimes things seem so crazy, but then you can bond together on something to like, and she kind of like has her friends and her sister to, you know, solve some of these problems. And like, I think that she learns to accept help more as the story goes on, because I think she's afraid to accept help sometimes. That's just what I get from her character in the beginning. And you can definitely see that change. And like, I identified with some of that myself. I'm like, this is so relatable to like, you know, how I felt in middle school and as a young adult. So.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm glad that hear that that's what you got out of it. I agree. Yes. And I do think, you know, her character does learn that she does need to accept help and she needs to, you know, lean on the people around her. So yes.
Yeah. Did you get any inspiration from some other, you know, books and stories? Because I can definitely like, I can see some of the best, you know, best parts of other stories. Like it was very original, but I just like, you know, did you have any like favorite book as a child or something that influenced your writing?
Yeah. I mean, I like a lot of writers, probably most writers and I'm sure you as well. I was a huge reader growing up and still read all the time. I read kind of everything, but I really loved growing up, you know, like more classic stories. I probably read Little Women. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times,
yeah.
20, 50. I loved Anne of Green Gables. So I think I've always really liked reading about sort of more precocious characters, you know, strong female characters. One of my favorite books growing up was Robin McKinley's The Hero and the Crown. And even though that's high fantasy and I write contemporary fantasy, yeah. I just think having, you know, this like a strong female character who really has a lot of growth over the story is something that I've always loved reading about and certainly wanted to portray in my books as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like I hadn't read something. It was a breath of fresh air that there was like predominantly female characters, you know, in a fantasy, you know, you always read, like there's a lot of books where you have the friend, you know, boy, and then there's two girls or that there's like a trio, but this was like a trio of sisters, which is great. Cause I'm like, I'm really like the last book I really thought of was Little Women. I definitely, you know, I did see some, you know, influence of this, how the sisters played off of each other, you know?
And, right. And I think for me, I have, just one sister, but, we're extremely close. I mean, we probably talk on the phone 3 or 4 times a day. And she's just been a huge influence in my life. And so I wanted to try and like capture that sibling relationship. You know, it's been very important to me. I think most people who have siblings, that's a very influential relationship. And there's so many complexities to it. The rivalry, but also the closeness and the way they know you from when you were little. And so it felt a little daunting, but that was something I really wanted to try and capture in the story.
Yeah, I have an older sister and we're really close. So, you know, I loved a story that had like sisters as the main focus, you know, it was just great. And like, I feel like even if you're not into fantasy or into stories with magic, like I could see a reader like coming to this book that likes, you know, adventure, you know, who likes real, you know, like even if you mostly read realistic fiction, because there's a lot of realistic aspects of the story with just like a hint of magic. It wasn't like overly, you know, magic, like, because I thought it, like how much magic is going to be in this, like, you know, where it does it overtake the story? Is it helping the story move along? It was just like, I felt like the perfect amount of magic. Yeah, because sometimes you read something and it's like it's too much. Like you think it's really just thrown in there just to for the sake of just having magic. But this was done in such like a nice way that it was really interesting to read too. I didn't want to put it down, so I wanted to find out like how they were going to solve this, like, you know, and you know, get through all their problems, you know, in the story, because it's not just the main character, you know, going through different things. All the characters go through something in the story and change. Yeah. So.
Yes. Thank you for saying that. And I think this is really what I enjoy reading. I mean, what I try to do is, you know, write something that I think will be fun to read and appealing and, you know, you want to figure out what's happening and there is a little bit of a mystery and there is some adventure, but then underneath it, there's kind of some more important messages, a lot of heart. And I think that has a bigger payoff at the end. So that's what I was trying to do.
Yeah. And it works so well. Do you have a favorite scene or a favorite character from the story?
You know, I think one of my favorite scenes, and you know, in the course of writing this book, tons of things changed. I mean, every draft had drastic changes, but one scene that stayed pretty much the same is when Marigold is auditioning for the play and she desperately wants to get this part and her sister shows up and uses magic and it kind of enthralls the whole audience. And I won't say any more than that because I don't want to give too much away, but I loved, I vividly saw that scene in my head, you know, what that would be like and imagined, what it would be like as a kid to be able to do something like that. And also sort of how she was very conflicted about, should I be doing this? Should I not? Except I really want this part. And so that was a really fun, scene to write. And then in terms of my favorite character, well, of course my heart is really with Marigold, the main character. I wanted to write a book, as I said, about sisters, but I really wanted to make the little sister the main character. I'm actually the oldest with my sister and I, but it's almost like a tribute to her that I wanted the little sister to be the one who is the heroine and kind of save the day.
Yeah, I love that because I'm the little sister, just out of sisters. And when you were saying that's my favorite scene, I was.
Oh, is it? Oh my gosh.
Because I saw that so vividly, like everything you said, that's exactly like how I thought. That was my absolute favorite scene.
Oh, I love that. Wonderful. Well, and, it was really fun to write.
It was so realistic because I feel like I used to do plays and musicals in high school. So I felt exactly that way that Marigold felt, like only if I had a little bit of help, like,
yeah,
like should, you know, should I use it? Should I not use it? You know, like if I had that help, like, you know, like I could, I would definitely see myself being conflicted in that way. And I still feel like I have dreams of auditioning, like where I don't know the lines and, or I'm like performing in the musical or play and I forget my lines. So that was like,
yes.
Yeah.
Me too. I actually was in same thing. I was really involved in music and theater, and that's why it was so real to me to write that, because I felt all those emotions. And like you said, I was like, what would I do if I had this ability, right?
Yeah. And I feel like you feel like that was such a great metaphor for, you know, being a teen or a young adult too. Like you feel like so conflicted on some things, like, should I do like the morally right thing to do? Or should I like make things easier for myself? Like, you know, it's just like,
right. Like, right. And I tried to use the different characters to really make some of those different arguments, you know, I mean, the sisters over the course of the book really have different viewpoints on using their magic and whether it's something they should be doing or not doing.
Definitely. I remember Birdie being like something like, oh, but like if Marigold does that, like she'll get expelled. And Lou is just like, oh yeah, but like, you know, don't worry, like it, you know, would be fine. You have to go like, you know, more impulse like with that. So it was just so funny how they played off of each other with that.
Right, right. Well, Lou's a total risk taker. So yes. she's the one that's pushing the envelope. And, you know, I think she would she kind of pushes the envelope on everything. So yes. Certainly in magic, like that's something she's going to be the one that's going to, you know, be a little more, open to the morally gray areas of that.
It was interesting because in the beginning of the story, like I almost, I wasn't sure if Marigold like had the full amount of her power, if she was like suppressing that or if like she was didn't have access to all of it. So it was interesting that she was just afraid of like, you know, what the other people in the town and what the other kids in school were going to, you know, think of her if she like was able to show too much of herself, I guess. So
that, yeah, that's exactly right. So, I mean, she sort of, the way I envisioned it, she doesn't have total control over it, but she also just has decided she doesn't want anything to do with it because she is, you know, scared of being different. And something I didn't realize, you know, I wrote most of this during the pandemic, at the start of the pandemic, mm-hmm. actually. I wrote the majority of it in the summer mm-hmm. of 2020, spring and summer of 2020. So I didn't really realize it at the time when I was writing it, but now when I go back and read it, you know, I see how isolated Marigold was at the beginning of this story. And I do think that the pandemic and the isolation of that had something to do with what I was writing at the time. I do think it influenced to some extent what I wrote.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because I did see elements of that. Like, when did you write this story and like over what period of time? Because I definitely felt like 2020 vibes of like,
yeah,
you know, feeling so alone and like, you know, they're already on that island alone. It's like a small town. And like, yeah, that I definitely felt that reading that. You know.
Yes. I mean, and that was not something that I consciously did. I didn't, you know, I didn't necessarily plan it to be that way. I mean, I wasn't thinking in my head like, oh, I'm isolated. I'm going to write about this girl that's isolated. But that was obviously what I was feeling. And it certainly crept into my writing.
If you would say like what you wanted readers to like get out of this book, like what is like, what do you feel like you definitely want like to come across in the story and why people should read it?
Sure. I mean, I think the main message I want to come across in this story is for people to be confident in their own abilities and to be okay with being different and to know that everyone is different. And we've got to celebrate those parts of ourselves that are unique. And it's important to do that. So that really is the main thing that I would want readers to take away from the story.
That's wonderful. And I think that's the story that kids need, you know, adults need, like, because everyone is different and you don't have to feel like you have to follow along all the time with what everyone is doing, because it doesn't necessarily mean it's the right thing to do at all times and you're your own person. So you have to go with how you feel comfortable as a person. And that's how you can shine. And that's how Marigold shines and is able to develop her powers too. So
exactly. And, you know, she really can't be successful in what she's trying to do until she accepts, you know, those parts of herself. And I think middle school is a time where everyone's kind of figuring out who they are. And there is this, I think, push among kids to sort of want to be like everyone else. And I think it's important to realize that we all have, you know, great different things about us that are worth celebrating.
Yes, exactly. And did you know, the end of the story when you first started writing, or how do you write the story?
I mean, I do outline my stories in advance, so I kind of know the major plot points that I'm going to hit. But it also changes some when I start getting into the actual writing, because even though I've spent a lot of time thinking about the characters and developing them in advance of typing out a single word, as I'm writing the story, I'm also getting to know them better. And so sometimes, you know, certain plot points that I had planned, as I get to them, I realize, you know what, this character wouldn't do this. this just doesn't make sense anymore. So sometimes I have to change it up. And so the end, I always kind of envisioned the final ending, image of the, and that did not change, but the last fourth of the book, how we got to that image did evolve quite a bit when I was writing it.
That's awesome. I'm almost curious, would you ever consider writing another story with characters with the same abilities, or would you write another fantasy as your next?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really, truly love these characters. I mean, I would love to write more about them. And I do think that the magic system is cool.
I agree. It's very cool.
Yeah. And I can think of lots of stories, you know, using this kind of magic, lots of different plots that could come out of this. So yeah, I would love to write another story about this. If, you know, maybe contact my publisher and let them know.
Okay. Great. Yeah, well, I'm definitely going to be recommending this to patrons of the library, because I could see so many kids reading the story. You know, it just appeals, if you like all different genres, it just appeals to, you know, so many different, I don't think it's just one genre. You know, I wouldn't just label this just a fantasy. I feel it just has elements of all different stories, mystery, you know, I definitely, you know, I could see a lot of different kids and adults and young adults reading this book and all enjoying it, because I think you can get something out of this any age you are.
Thank you. That is the nicest thing you could say to me. Yeah, that makes me so happy to hear.
I find since the pandemic, it's been so hard for me to sit down and read, you know, certain books. And lately I've just come across some great books that are coming out this year. And this was one of them, where I just sat down and was I don't want to put this down. There's so many different mysteries and different things that come up during the story where I'm I need to know, you know, what happens to this character, you know, what's going to happen next. So it was such an entertaining read, but also you got a great message out of it, you know,
too. Oh, well, thank you. That is, seriously, such a thrilling thing to hear as an author. I'm so happy that you connected with it. And I hope readers do too. Thank you so much.
Yeah, they definitely will. I think that's all I had for today. Did you have anything else that you wanted to say?
No, but thank you so much for having me on. I've really just enjoyed chatting with you. And I'm so happy you like the book.
Yeah, thank you. I absolutely loved it. And I'm definitely, like I told, I know some friends about it, and they're definitely going to read it next. And
yay,
look forward to recommending it to people. So we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page. I am Megan, and my special guest with me here today, Stacy Hackney, the author of Sisters of Luna Island, which is now available to purchase. Check it out. Check it out from your local library, and have a good day.
Thanks,
and this
Megan.
Is closing the chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.